Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritcha. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarsatim Vyasam. Tato Jayo Mudirayet. Nasta Praeshu Abhadreshu. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavachutama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. By regular attendance and classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is practically destroyed, and thus loving service to the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental song, is established as an irrevocable fact. And today we're studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7, Text 32. This is a section where Lord Brahma is answering various questions that have been put to him by Narada Muni. He asked many questions, and he also said, can you also answer the questions that I didn't ask? Might have been Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Pariksit, but in any case, there was a lot of questions asked. And now we're hearing from Lord Brahma answers to those questions. So one of the answers to the questions were referred to the different incarnations, and in the line of those answers, we get to hear about Govardhana Lila.
Gopar Make Pra Hihate Vraja Viplavaya. Deve Bivarshati Pashun Kripayari Rakshu. Dartochi Nindram Iva Sapta Dinani Sapta. Varsho Mahidram Angaika Kare Salilam. Gopai,
by the cowherd men.
Make,
in offering a sacrifice to the King of Heaven.
Pratihate,
being hampered.
Raja Viplavaya,
for devastating the whole existence of Brajabhumi, the land of Krishna's pastimes.
Deve,
by the King of Heaven,
Abhivarshati,
having poured down heavy rain.
Pashun,
the animals.
Kripaya,
by causeless mercy upon them.
Virakshu,
desired to protect them.
Tarta,
held up.
Uchilindram,
uprooted as an umbrella.
Eva,
exactly like that.
Saptadinani,
continuously for 7 days.
Saptavarsha,
although he was only 7 years old.
Mahidram,
the Govardhan Hill.
Anaga,
without being tired.
Ekakare,
in one hand only.
Salilam,
playfully. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.
When the cowherd men of Vrindavan, under instruction of Krishna, stopped offering sacrifice to the heavenly king Indra, the whole tract of land known as Vraja was threatened with being washed away by constant heavy rains for 7 days. Lord Krishna, out of his causeless mercy upon the inhabitants of Vraj, held up the hill known as Govardhan with one hand only, although he was only 7 years old. He did this to protect the animals from the onslaught of water. Should we repeat it together? Did everybody catch it? We want to repeat it together? Okay. When the cowherd men of Vrindavan, under instruction of Krishna, stopped offering sacrifices to the heavenly king Indra, the whole tract of land known as Vraja was threatened with being washed away by constant heavy rains for 7 days. Lord Krishna, out of his causeless mercy upon the inhabitants of Vraja, held up the hill known as Govardhan with one hand only, although he was only 7 years old. He did this to protect the animals from the onslaught of water. Purport. Children play with an umbrella generally known as a frog's umbrella. Everybody knows what a frog's umbrella is? Can anybody guess? Yeah. Puddestool, you say in Dutch, huh? Puddestool, yeah. French. Eso in Dutch. Champignon in Dutch. In French, huh? Children play with an... I love that. Prabhupada said he lifted Govardhan Hill as easily as a child lifts a frog's umbrella. And when Lord Krishna, when he was only 7 years old, could snatch... snatch means grab... the great hill known as the Govardhan Parvata at Vrindavan and hold it for 7 days continuously with one hand just to protect the animals and the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the wrath. You know, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that frustrated lust turns into wrath. Just to protect the animals and inhabitants from the wrath of Indra, the heavenly king, who had been denied sacrificial offerings by the inhabitants of Brajabhumi. Factually, there is no need of offering sacrifices to the demigods for their services if one is engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord. Sacrifices recommended in the Vedic literature for the satisfaction of the demigods are a sort of inducement to the sacrifices to realize the existence of higher authorities. The demigods are engaged by the Lord as controlling deities of material affairs, and according to the Bhagavad Gita, when a demigod is worshipped, the process is accepted as the indirect method for worshipping the Supreme Lord. But when the Supreme Lord is worshipped directly, there is no need of worshipping the demigods or offering them sacrifices as recommended in particular circumstances. Lord Krishna therefore advised the inhabitants of Brajabhumi not to offer any sacrifices to the heavenly king Indra. But Indra, not knowing Lord Krishna in Brajabhumi, was angry at the inhabitants of Brajabhumi and tried to avenge the offense. But, competent as the Lord was, he saved the inhabitants and animals of Brajabhumi by his personal energy and provided proved definitely that anyone directly engaged as a devotee of the Lord need not satisfy any other demigod, however great, even to the level of Brahma or Shiva. Thus, this incident definitely proved, without a doubt, that Lord Krishna is the personality of Godhead and that he was so in all circumstances, as a child on the lap of his mother, as a boy 7 years old, and as an old man of 125 years of age. He was never on the level of the ordinary man, and even in his advanced age, he appeared a young boy, 16 years old. These are the particular features of the transcendental body of the Lord. Om Jnana Tumirandasya Dhyaranjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance. My spiritual master is forcing open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him. Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanepyo Vaishnavepyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yesterday I was having a little bit of a discussion with the devotee who was introducing this realization that unless one is actually very pure, it's impossible to purely convey a Krishna katha. One may become guilty of just portraying some gyan. So I'm praying for the mercy of Govardhan today, all the Vaishnavas. I'm guilty of that. I have some gyan. Bhakti is limited. But since Govardhan is so merciful, I pray that whatever nectar I've been able to gather. Another devotee asked me this morning, how much nectar did you gather about Govardhan Hill? I said, so much nectar. It's hard to stop. There's so much nectar associated with Govardhan Hill. So I pray for the mercy of Govardhan, that whatever nectar I've been able to gather may perfume the minds of the devotees today with some realization and devotion, some faith in this wonderful Leela. I decided to focus on five main points. I don't know if I'll have time to get through them all. One is important lessons that we can learn from this Leela. Reasons why the Lord manifested this very special Leela. Special features of the Leela itself. Some glories of Govardhan Hill. And also the responses of the cowherd men to this Leela. So let's see how far we can get. So one of the important lessons that we can learn from this Leela is that we have to cultivate faith in an attachment to the Lord's Leelas. Prabhupada says in one purport that this lifting of the Govardhan Hill by a 7-year-old boy may be unbelievable for the faithless, but for the devotees it is absolutely believable. The devotee believes in the almighty potency of the Lord, while the faithless say that the Lord is almighty but do not believe it. Prabhupada was speaking with one woman one time. She was there. She was very upset that her son had become a devotee. And she was chastising Prabhupada. No, father, I don't agree with you, father. High-pitched, very. And don't laugh, you young people, she said. Someday you'll also be parents and you'll know what I'm going through. And then Prabhupada was trying to preach to her, and he talked about, you know, how he was helping these devotees to know the ultimate goal of life and where they would go after death. I know where I'm going. I'm going to Almighty God. So she was a perfect example of someone who said they had faith in Almighty God, but she couldn't see that the glory of Almighty God was manifest in her, in before her, in the form of Srila Prabhupada, and the transformation he was bringing about in her son. So the Prabhupada says they profess faith in Almighty God, but they actually don't have faith. Such men with a poor fund of knowledge do not know that the Lord is the Lord eternally, and that one cannot become the Lord by meditation for millions of years or by mental speculation for billions of years. So in that sense, a conditioned soul is trying to become the Lord in so many ways, and many times in the name of religion he tries to be the Lord. When the Lord appears as Lord Krishna, he played the part of the son of Yashoda and Nanda, and he lifted the Govardhan Hill, although lifting a hill is not his concern. He can lift millions of Govardhan Hills by his simple desire. He does not need to lift it with his hand. But he imitates the ordinary living entity by this lifting, and at the same time he exhibits his supernatural power. Thus his name is chanted as the lifter of Govardhan Hill, or Sri Govardhan Dhari. When I was reading this last night, I was meditating on devotees that I know who live in Vrindavan and who have so much faith in and affection for Govardhan. There's no doubt in their mind that Krishna did this, that he lifted the hill, and they're very attached to meditating on Govardhan and the wonderful pastimes that the Lord had there. So I pray that today some of that attachment, that faith may enter into my heart. And this brings me to the next point that we can learn from this Govardhan Leela, try to learn how elevated the Vajavasis are. Prabhupada said, the residents of Vrindavan were simply devoted to Lord Krishna. That was the sum and substance of their existence. Being the Lord's eternal associates, they were ultimately not concerned with Lord Indra or ritualistic sacrifice, and they were certainly not interested in the mechanistic philosophy that Krishna had just spoken to them. Krishna spoke all kinds of philosophy to them, right, to convince them to not worship Govardhan, Lord Indra. They simply loved Krishna, and out of intense affection, they did exactly what he had requested. Their simple loving mentality was not small-mindedness or ignorance. Since they were devoted to the Supreme Absolute Truth, who contains within him in himself all of existence, thus the residents of Vrindavan constantly experienced the highest essential truth underlying all other truths, and that is Sri Krishna himself, the cause of all causes, and that which sustains the existence of all that exists. The residents of Vrindavan were overwhelmed in loving service to that Supreme Absolute Truth. Therefore, they were the most fortunate, most intelligent, and most pragmatic of all living beings. Yeah, some people who go to Vrindavan might think, these are, what do you see in these people? But if you have good association in Vrindavan, when you look into the eyes of the inhabitants of Braj, you realize something very special by the mercy of the realized devotees. You look through all the noise and the chaos and the dirt and the pigs and the this and the that. Vrindavan, which covers the glories of the Dham from mundane eyes, and you see something that you will never see anyplace else. Prabhupada also said, Lord Krishna had induced the residents of Vrindavan to assume a significant risk on his behalf. He convinced them to neglect a sacrifice to what is, after all, the powerful government of the universe, and to worship a hill called Govardhan instead. So Krishna is actually the original, civil rights movement? Prabhupada said Lord Chaitanya, but actually Lord Krishna had his devotees rebel against the government of the universe. The cowherd community did all this simply out of love for Krishna, and now to convince them that their decision was correct, Lord Krishna appeared in an unprecedented, huge, transcendental form and demonstrated that he himself was Govardhan Hill. So this he was able to reveal to the inhabitants of Raja because of their special love for him. Another important point is that we should not be captivated by opulent life in this world. The demigods, they get to live a very opulent life. And sometimes when you hear about the heavenly planets, you think, wow, I like to go there. It sounds like fun, right? You know, rivers of mango juice, and you have a body that perfumes everything for 80 miles around, and you get to enjoy all kinds of sense gratification there. But of course, then you hear from Srila Prabhupada and from the Bhagavatam that even if you enjoy all kinds of sense gratification, you will be morose. Because sense gratification, even if the most heavenly kind, will not satisfy the soul. And Indra, he also realized this, and he was embarrassed. And Krishna made a very special arrangement to meet Indra in a private place so that Indra wouldn't be more embarrassed than he already had made such a big fool of himself. I mean, really, big time. He tried to kill Krishna and the inhabitants of what could be more stupid on one side, and also more offensive. But Krishna was very merciful to him. But Indra was so captivated by material opulence, Prabhupada comments, or maybe it's this time, it's Ridhananda Maharaj's comment. In fact, despite Indra's humility, In this case, his heart was not completely purified. Later on in this canto, we find that when Lord Krishna once took a Parijata flower from Indra's kingdom, poor Indra again reacted violently against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, we should aspire to go back to our eternal home in the kingdom of Krishna and should not become entangled in the imperfect life of the material gods. So this is another important lesson that we learn from Lord Indra's intoxication of pride, attachment to opulence, that we need to become detached from such infatuation by becoming infatuated by the Lord's pastimes. Okay, so some reasons why Lord Krishna manifested this particular lila. There's various reasons that are given to us. So one is to instruct the Vajavasis and the world in the most perfect mode of worship. The Supreme Lord Krishna desired to utilize the opulent financial strength of Maharaj Nanda for worship of the cows. This is really funny because in the material world today, the cows are the most abused and disrespected animals. It's such a pity, but Krishna wanted to show that the cows should be worshipped. By this act, Lord Krishna taught human society, as he has instructed in the Bhagavad Gita also, that one should worship the Supreme Lord by all acts and by all their results. That will bring about the desired success. The Vaishyas are specifically advised to give protection to the cows and their pasturing ground or agricultural land instead of squandering their hard-earned money. That will satisfy the Lord. The perfection of one's occupational duty, whether in the sphere of duty to oneself, to one's community, or one's nation, is judged by the degree to which the Lord is satisfied. And we remember that verse from the first canto that that all occupational duties are considered a failure unless one develops a taste for hearing about Krishna and one desires to please the Lord. Another reason why the Lord performed this pastime is he wanted to purify Lord Indra. He wanted to give Indra a lesson. Thus he advised his father to perform worship of Go. He was telling Lord Indra, the cow is more important than you. Or the pasturing land and the cows with the help of learned brahmanas. Srila Sridhar Swami explains that Lord Krishna's intention was not simply to insult a demigod, but rather to knock down the great mountain of false pride that had arisen within the Lord's tiny servant, who was supposed to represent the Lord as Indra. So Lord Indra was very small, but his ego was very big. I remember one time I was watching Ashoka, which was taking care of the children, and one of the children had to, she had to march in the back, a little bit away from the children. She was being chastised, and she looked really angry, this child. She was like, you could see. And Ashoka came behind her, and Ashoka looked at me, and she said, such a tiny body, but such a big ego. And I was thinking, yeah. You know, that's the ego is bigger than anything. It's bigger than any body. Even Lord Indra has a very great body, but he's considered very tiny. According to Srila Sridhar Swami, the Lord presented six theoretical points in this chapter: that karma alone is sufficient to determine one's identity, that one's conditioned nature is the supreme controller, that the modes of nature are the supreme controller, that the Supreme Lord is simply a dependent aspect of karma, that he is under the control of karma, and that one's occupation is the actual worshipable deity. The Lord presented these arguments not because he believed them, but rather because he wanted to stop the impending sacrifice to Indra and divert it to himself in the form of Govardhan Hill. In this way, the Lord desired to agitate that falsely proud demigod. So this is a very important lesson that Indra learned and that we all stand to learn, that humility is extremely important. And whatever we are able to do in Krishna's service is borrowed plumes. It's nice to borrow one of Krishna's peacock feathers, but don't wear it on your head. Remember, it's a borrowed plume. And of course, the obvious reason that Krishna performed the lila is he wanted to protect the inhabitants of Vrindavan. He also wanted to enjoy with his devotees. And this is a very special feature of this pastime with Lord Krishna, that all the inhabitants of Vrindavan can enjoy with Krishna simultaneously. Krishna has his Astakaliya Lila, where he enjoys with different devotees at different times of the day. But this pastime, there's one other pastime that was also very special in this regard that all the devotees could enjoy. Does anybody remember? Relating to Krishna, yes? Pardon me?
Yes.
Yes. Everybody came to see Krishna dancing on the heads of Kaliya, so this is another very special feature of this pastime. And also, the Lord wanted to give devotees the opportunity to worship him in the future. By lifting Govardhan Hill, Lord Krishna would thus initiate a blissful annual festival called Govardhan Puja. When everything was complete, Krishna assumed a great transcendental form and declared to the inhabitants of Vrindavan that he himself was Govardhan. In order to convince the devotees that Govardhan Hill and Krishna are identical, thus Krishna began to eat all the food offered there. The identity of Krishna and Govardhan Hill is still honored, and great devotees take rocks from Govardhan Hill and worship them exactly as they worship the deity of Krishna in the temple. The followers of the Krishna consciousness movement, they may therefore collect small rocks or pebbles from Govardhan Hill and worship them at home, because this worship is as good as deity worship. So we have a number of Govardhan Shilas on the altar here. They all look very blissful and beautiful. Of course, some spiritual masters, they have many disciples, so they forbid their disciples. Because if they start taking all the little rocks and pebbles from Govardhan Hill, there won't be any Govardhan Hill left. So if a spiritual master has many disciples, he says, don't do it. Okay, is this interesting for you all? I know I'm reading a lot, but that's because I have a minimal realization, so I try to share the nectar. I hope it's okay with you. Is it any objections? I mean, is it too much reading? And you're okay with it? Yes. Oh, well, the main point that was coming from the six arguments was that Krishna used many arguments that he didn't believe himself. They were arguments based. No, they're not true at all. You know that the demigods basically that the sacrifice controls the demigods, and that even Krishna is controlled by sacrifice, that karma is the most important thing. So these are all arguments that were based on philosophies that were more or less speculated by great speculators in India. Is that all right for now? Okay. Okay, so these there's some special features of this pastime which were especially illuminated by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. I got to associate with Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur when I was writing my thesis for the college, and I very much like his commentaries and his insights, and apparently Hriday Nanda Maharaj does too, because he shares a lot of them in his purports to this Leela and to many other Leelas. And Hriday Nanda Maharaj himself said that Krishna's lifting of Govardhan Hill is full of fascinating details and has for thousands of years remained one of his most famous pastimes. So one very special feature of this pastime, that Lord Krishna himself never got touched by the rain that was being showered down by Lord Indra. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, when Lord Krishna was preparing to lift Govardhan Hill, a partial expansion of his yogamaya potency named Samhariki. Anybody heard about this before? This is the first time I heard about it. Temporarily removed all the rain from the sky so that he ran very swiftly from the porch of his house to the mountain, and neither his turban nor other garments became wet. Yes, another very special feature is that the Lord picked up the hill with the small finger of his left hand. Krishna was also not left-handed. He was right-handed. Sometimes you notice people doing things with their left hand and you think, oh, they must be left-handed. And because they have more strength in their left hand. It is confirmed in the Hari Vamsa that Sri Krishna picked up the Govardhan mountain with his left hand. With his left hand, he picked up that mountain which was touching the cloud. So at that time, Giriraj mountain was very, very high. Also, another special feature was everybody, it was a miracle, but everybody could fit underneath the hill. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur provides the following insights. Ordinarily, a large cowherd community, which included many thousands of cows, calves, bulls, and so on, could not fit under the base of a medium-sized hill like Sri Govardhan Hill. So sometimes you hear it was as high as the mount, high, it touched the clouds. It was very high, but apparently it was medium-sized also. But he says that there was room for an unlimited number of persons under the hill. From the Harivamsa, the Acharya has also quoted Sri Krishna himself as saying, Sri Govardhan can give shelter to all the three worlds, what to speak of the simple land of Braj. So it was quite an amazing feature of this Leela that everybody, and there was we know there was unlimited devotees, unlimited cows, they could all fit under. And Krishna said, anybody else who wants to come can also come under. So let's all go under Govardhan Hill today, because there's room for all of us. Also, everybody who was involved in this Leela was transcendental to Lord Indra's attack. I mean, it was a very severe attack. I mean, the clouds that were used to destroy the universe were invoked. I mean, Lord Indra was really angry. Because the hill was in ecstasy, being touched by the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it acquired inconceivable power and even felt the hundreds of deadly thunderbolts thrown up on its back by angry Indra to be offerings of soft, fragrant flowers. At times, Sri Govardhan was not even aware that the thunderbolts were striking. When Indra's attack began and Krishna lifted the hill, the deer, wild hogs, and other animals and birds standing on the hill's flanks climbed up its peaks, and even they did not experience the slightest distress. So sometimes we hear about this pastime and we wonder, how did they tolerate it before Krishna lifted the hill? And even some of them, what if they didn't make it under the hill? But apparently nobody felt any distress. Everybody was very blissful. Yes, I mentioned this already. All the Vajrabhashis got to be with Krishna nonstop for 7 days. But Lord Krishna held up the mountain while his praises were chanted by the residents of Braj, all of whom now had the opportunity to dwell together with him, and who glanced at him with joyful and amazed eyes. Thus the coward men and women were all elated, and out of loving affection they opened their eyes wide. So it seems, sometimes we have these wonderful kirtans, everybody becomes ecstatic and amazed. But we have a material body, so we can, after some time, it seems we have to stop. But they were able to be with Krishna for 7 days, nonstop ecstasy for 7 days. And without any bodily activities, they were only glorifying Krishna, they weren't disturbed at all. By continuously drinking the nectar of the beauty and sweetness of Sri Krishna, the residents of Vrindavan felt no hunger, thirst, or fatigue. And Lord Krishna, by seeing their beautiful forms, also forgot about eating, sleeping, drinking. And even though the Lord was protecting the inhabitants from the rain, he also protected all the surrounding areas from being flooded. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur points out that 7 days of continuous rain from the Samvartika clouds failed to flood the district of Mathura because the Supreme Lord, simply by his potency, immediately dried up the water as soon as it fell on the ground. So it's interesting because we try to visualize this pastime. And of course, initially the inhabitants of Braj felt some distress. They felt the attack, but it was counteracted by Lord Chaitanya, by Lord Krishna's potency. Okay, so now I would like to just read one verse in purport about some of the glories of Govardhan Hill. This is a very famous verse. This is when the gopis were glorifying Krishna. Of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. O my friends, this hill supplies Krishna and Balaram, along with their calves, cows, and cowherd friends, with all kinds of necessities, water for drinking, very soft grass, caves, fruits, flowers, and vegetables. In this way, the hill offers respects to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. How many devotees here had the chance to live in the country when they were young? Do you remember how special it was? I remember playing with my brother, Terry, and our mutual friend, Beverly. And we were always running around looking, climbing trees and going in caves. And it was such an exciting time for us. We were just young children exploring. So this feature of Krishna's playing with the coward boys all day, exploring the wonderful mysteries of Govardhan Hill, I find this very fascinating because I got a little glimpse of this. When you're a child, you're innocent, you're free from anxiety, you don't know that this world is a horrible place. So you get this little glimpse of what it would be like to live eternally in such a wonderful setting. And what to speak if you could do that with Lord Krishna. And so Govardhan Hill is responsible for providing such wonderful leelas. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains the opulence of Govardhan Hill as follows. Paniya refers to the fragrant, cool water from the Govardhan waterfalls, which Krishna and Balaram drink and use to wash their feet and mouths. Govardhan also offers other beverages used as such as honey, mango juice, and pilu juice. So you don't have to go to the heavenly planets to get these things. You just have to go to Govardhan Hill. Suyavasa indicates the durva grass used to make the religious offering of argya. Govardhan also has grass that is fragrant, soft, and conducive to the strong growth of cows and increased production of milk. Thus, this grass is used for feeding the transcendental herds. Kandara refers to the caves where Krishna, Balaram, and their friends play, sit, and lie down. These caves give pleasure when the weather is too hot or too cold. If you go visit the caves, we have caves here. Did anybody go to see these caves? We got to go in the first year of Bhaktivedanta College. We all went there together. So it's quite under the ground there. It doesn't matter what's going on upstairs, as they say here in Europe. Bowen. it's always 12 degrees there, which is not particularly warm, but if it was really cold outside, 12 degrees would be very interesting. And if it's really hot, it would probably be pretty interesting too. So the coward boys were able to take shelter in the caves, and it was too hot and it was too cold. These caves, Govardhan also features soft roots for eating, jewels for ornamenting the body, flat places for sitting, and lamps and mirrors in the form of smooth stones, glistening water, and other natural substances. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur also explains that the pastimes of Krishna elevate these gunja berries, the gunja berries that are offered to Govardhan. They're more elevated than the most wonderful vidurya stones, and that this simple clay that the coward boys use to decorate themselves and their cows is more glorious than any kind of opulent unguents or cosmetics. And herding cows is more sublime than being very, very opulent in other ways. So this is the nature of the pastimes of Krishna. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya was teased by Venkatabhata that, you know, you just worship, you know, a land where it's just very, you know, there's just a few herbs there and cows, and my goddess of fortune, she's very opulent and very beautiful. Of course, Krishna was able to do, Lord Chaitanya was able to defeat the argument, because although the opulence of Govardhan is veiled, it's extremely opulent. But that opulence is manifested in a very, very pleasing and intimate way, not with this Aishwarya Bhav, with all this grandeur. It's all manifest in a very intimate and friendly way. I guess it's getting a little late. Would you like to hear a little more? Would anybody like to make some comments or questions or realizations about Govardhan? I have one more little topic about how the cowherd men responded to this leela. Is that interesting? Would you like to hear that? Okay. Okay, thank you. Shukadev Goswami said, "The cowherd men were astonished when they saw Krishna's activities, such as lifting Govardhan Hill. Unable to understand his transcendental potency, they approached Nanda Maharaj and spoke as follows." Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains this verse as follows. "During Lord Krishna's pastime of lifting Sri Govardhan Hill, the cowherd men simply enjoyed the spiritual bliss of the Lord's activities without analyzing them. They weren't trying to understand it. They were just blissed out. But afterwards, when they had returned to their homes, perplexity arose within their hearts. Thus they thought, now we have directly seen child Krishna lift Govardhan Hill, and we remember how he killed Putana and other demons, extinguished the forest fire, and so on. At the time, we thought that these extraordinary activities occurred because of a benediction from the Brahmanas, or because of Nanda Maharaj's great fortune, or that perhaps this boy had achieved the mercy of Lord Narayan, and was thus empowered by him. But all these presumptions are false, because an ordinary 7-year-old boy could never hold up the king of mountains for 7 whole days. Krishna is not a human being. He must be the Supreme Lord himself. But on the other hand, child Krishna loves it when we cuddle him, and he becomes morose when we, his uncles and well-wishers, simply worldly cowherd men, do not give him attention. He appears to become hungry and thirsty, steals yogurt and milk, sometimes plays tricks, tells lies, chatters childishly, and tends the calves. If he is actually the Supreme Lord, why would he do these things? Don't they indicate that he is an ordinary human child? We are totally unable to establish the truth of his identity. Therefore, let us go and inquire from the highly intelligent King of Braj, Nanda Maharaj, and he shall free us from our doubts. So according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, the cowherd men thus made up their minds, and then they entered Nanda Maharaj's great assembly hall and questioned him. It is apparent from this and the previous verses in this chapter that Lord Krishna's lifting Govardhan Hill made quite an impression on the simple cowherd men of Vrindavan, and they repeatedly remembered this feat. Certainly, anyone who soberly and objectively considers the activities of young Krishna will surrender to him and become his devotee eternally in loving devotional service. That is the rational conclusion one should come to after reading this chapter on Govardhan Lila. So thank you for listening patiently. I wanted to highlight some of the important lessons we could learn from this Lila, some of the reasons that the Lord decided to enact the Leela, some special features of the Leela, some of the glories of Govardhan, and the cowherd's responses. And I hope that we can remember some of these wonderful katha today so that we can take transcendental pleasure and purify our existence by participating in Govardhan Leela. Any thoughts, realizations, corrections? Come on, Partha, you want to say something?
It's interesting, there's only three people that are referred to as Haridasa Bharya.
Okay. Really? Okay, is this Yudhisthira considered? Uddhava? Govardhan, obviously. And what about Srimati? Oh, Srimati Radharani refers to him as the best. Okay. Well, thank you. That's very ecstatic. The devotees worship Govardhan in that way, as the best devotee of... Wow. So they know he's Krishna, but they worship him as the best of devotees because they want to get the mercy from the devotee. Wow. Pardon me? Many places? Okay. Jai. Prabhupada's going to enlighten us tonight with all kinds of nectar about Govardhan. Yes? What I want to do, because I want everybody to hear, I want people in the kitchen to hear. I want to hear, because I know I'm in the kitchen, I want to hear. So, speak directly into this list.
I just wanted to share one interesting story. When we was in New Vrindavan, there is a Vashan Maharaj. I think American devotees know him. He lives in Govardhan in New Vrindavan. And I had an opportunity to show him, then I was there. And once I came to him and there was some interesting things going on like around him. Different managers used to tell him different things, what to do and so on. And I was like a bit, I was wondering how he could handle all this. And he says, Radha Sahib, that's why I'm living in Govardhan. Because it is like one more lesson which we can get from the Govardhan Lila that he said then when Indra, he sends all these clouds to destroy Vrindavan, Indra had such a big headache because he was wondering that they should destroy Vrindavan. And he used to send his servants to look what is going on in Vrindavan. And they used to come and say, hey, they destroyed, but he still had this headache. And he said, he sent in his, I don't remember the name of his closest servant, and said, go and look what's going on in Vrindavan. And he returned and he was so sad. And Indra asked, okay, what is going on? He said, they have a great party under the Govardhan Hill. He said, that's why we could have so many bosses, but Krishna is the great boss, and I want to be under his protection. This is another lesson which you could take.
So he was telling you the secret of his joy in Krishna consciousness, and he could tolerate all this. What is it? Resolution? No, solution, dissolution. The movement has to be managed, but in order to get the strength and the bliss, one meditates on Govardhan. Thank you. Yes.
Just as you were reading about how Krishna saved Vrindavan from inundation of the rain, that actually the ground never even got wet. So I was wondering actually how this happened. And I actually found out that Krishna used his Sudarshan Chakra and the whole of Vraj was actually dry, completely dry, because the Sudarshan Chakra was being used and not a single drop touched the land of Vrindavan. And I was just like, wow, Krishna is so cool. He uses his weapons even in the most unique way. Can you imagine the Sudarshan Chakra spinning at that kind of speed, that the Samvartaka clouds pouring water the size of logs, raindrops the size of logs, and none of that is able to even touch Vrindavan. I was like, yeah, I just thought it was a really awesome feat. Hare Krishna.
Pleasure you take in hearing this Leela. You might run us.
Just stay here.
Who?
I remembered I was in Radhades for like some seminar with Lokanath Maharaj. And he said this is the favorite pastimes of all the Brijabasis because they can finally see Krishna for 7 days and seven nights without any interruption. And also they're all together. And that is also why I like this festival so much, because you have then this Govardhan and all the devotees go around it. It's a very kind of family festival. It's a very special festival. Hare Krishna.
Because when I was in the college, I had to write an essay, Vaishnava Vedanta, and there's Vallabhacharya and Lord Chaitanya, and they're both called Mahaprabhu. And, there's a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that says, renunciation is the principle sustaining the life of Lord Chaitanya's devotees. So as an academic, you have to be critical. So I did mention that this renunciation is sometimes problematic for the followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because they aspire for it, but they may not have the adhikar, so there's been some challenges there. And Valbacharya, he puts more emphasis on the grihastha ashram. So that was, but I said, nevertheless, the devotees are very attached to that mood of total attachment to Krishna, which will ultimately prove that to free them from all attachment to the material world. But this is nice, because you were mentioning that the devotees, that this pastime ultimately brings all the devotees together from all the different leelas and makes one big family leela. I think Garuda Prabhu also puts that emphasis on the Rasa Leela. When he wrote his wonderful book about Rasa Leela, he mentioned that one of the wonderful features about Rasa Leela that the whole world can learn of is the unity in worshipping the Lord. In many different ways, there were many individual gopis and they all had their particular relationship with Krishna. But the ultimate feature of the is that they all became united in worshipping Krishna. So that's a unity. That's a very important lesson we can learn from. The importance of, what is a unity in diversity? Respecting and appreciating each devotee's worship of the Lord, and having that family, sense of family in devotional service. Is that all right? Yes.
Another thing came to mind is that, because you mentioned that was the biggest mountain in the world. Yeah. Well, that's one of the reasons why it's called Gira. At least that's what I understand, that he was the big. But it's when you go there, of course, it's quite small. So Dinabandhu Prabhu, he explained to us that it's actually, since Kali Yuga started, it goes one mustard seed, I think he said every year, it sinks, or every day maybe. Every day. So, but then he mentioned that if we perform Nam Sankirtan, Harinam Sankirtan, then we might be able to stop that, or at least slow it down. So that was also very important instruction, that this is also a day for very ecstatic kirtan, so that we can stop Govardhan from sinking down. Yeah.
What time is it? At 10 o'clock, the Harinam?
Saturday.
Okay, good. Okay. One last point, or should we stop here now? Okay, so we look forward to hearing from Partha Prabhu tonight. Srila Prabhupada, ki jai. Giri Govardhan, ki jai.